Okay, so today I'm going to talk about chapter 8 of the Great Manual, which is the second chapter about Microsoft Access. So let me just go back to the lectures where I talk about the Great Manual chapter 7 last week. So if you go to that lecture, and I have uploaded the notes about all the exercises about that chapter. So if you click on the notes, there it will display the key points and the summary that you should know to do all the exercises. So so these notes kind of serve as the guideline how to complete all the exercises in chapter 7. And for today's lecture again, so I have uploaded the notes and the guideline and summary about the key points for chapter 8. Yes? Unfortunately, I think the recorder didn't work on that day. So so I didn't have the file, the audio file for that lecture. Okay. So this file here, if you look at it, we divide the main chapter into five subsections. So in a sense, if you follow all the key points on this notes here, you should be able to complete all the exercises in chapter 8. So let me go back to the Great Manual first. So okay, so chapter 8, I would say, is kind of a continuation of chapter 7. In chapter 7, we only deal with a single table, and you will have to generate a single report and using some specific functions in query to retrieve some of the data. So chapter 8, we will work with multiple tables, and we will look at the relationship, how to establish the relationship between multiple tables. So this is kind of the application that I have mentioned in chapter 12.3 in the textbook. So like I said, there are 21 pages in total in chapter 8. So if you spend some time to go through the details, there are lots of detailed information mentioned in chapter 8. So a lot of students find that the key points and the summary notes that I have uploaded, they are quite helpful as to completing this chapter 8 assignment. Okay, so let me go to the resources and the support files. Under chapter 8, there are two files. One is the Access file, the other one is the Excel file. So let me download this one first. So the lab8_exercise is the Access database file, and allquicks is the Excel file. And what we will need to do is we will need to import all the data from allquicks into the Access file. Okay, so let me just open the Excel file first. So while we're waiting, do you have any specific questions about chapter 7? Yes? You mean the labels, right? Okay, I'm not sure if I still have the file there, but what you will have to do is, you're talking about reports, right? So under reports, you will have the header and the detail. So the detail, you have to drag the label icon into the detail and then modify the name of the label. So once you have done that, right, you can, you should be able to separate two labels. So you will have to drag two labels first, one for the name, one for the index rating. And then you have to separate those two in under detail. It also depends on which version you're using. If you're using 2007, you may encounter the problem of having the detail and the header. Actually, if you drag one thing, they will have to move at the same time. So there's no way that you can separate those two if you're using 2007 version. So in that scenario, we still accept the final outlook of your assignment. So that is fine if you're using that version. So we are aware of that particular issue. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. Okay, so this is the Excel file, and so we have multiple attributes. If you look at this Excel file here, and what we will have to do is we will have to import all this data into the Access file. So when you first open the Access file here, we will have two tables. So we have FE, and the other one is the Mercalli table. So the whole exercise about Chapter 8 is related to some specific information or databases related to the earthquake. So let me first import the data. So this will belong to, sorry, let me go back to the lectures and the nooks here. So this will be the first step under these nooks here. So the first step is to import all the data from the Excel file into the Access database table. So the way to do this is we go to external data, and then we see we have this ribbon interface again. So we choose Excel, and then we see this pop-up window. So what we will have to do now is we have to browse the Excel file that we just saved. So this is the file. So we select the file and open this one. And we select OK. And so this is pretty much the same as one of the exercises in Excel where you have to import the text file, I believe, in chapter 5. So if you look at the outlook of this dialog box here, we have all the attributes that we just saw in the Excel file. So again, don't change the layout. We just go to the next step. And we keep everything the same. And we go to the last step, and the name of this table will be all quick. So we finish this. And we will have two additional tables. So we have the table that we just created, which is all quick. And at the same time, you see we still have another table where it says import errors. So let's take a look what does it mean. So if I double click on this AllQuick's import errors table, so we have a list of conversion failure errors. And it gives us the actual row error. And the reason is because if I go back to the original AllQuick table, so if I go to row 63. Well, 63 looks fine to us because we have all the essential information. But if you look at row 62, we're missing one number for the attribute depth. Well, why does it say 63? Because if you go back to the Excel file, row number 1 refers to the actual attributes. So when it says 63, it actually refers to row 63 in the Excel file. So this import errors table, you can simply ignore it. You can delete it, but we just leave it as it is. So we will just work on the rest of the three tables. And so like I said, we don't work on these error tables. So if I go back to the original AllQuick table here, so we have all the attributes that we just saw in the Excel file. So this is how we import the data. So as we can see, we have three tables in this database. And if you remember in chapter 12.3, in one of the examples where I mentioned the movie rental business, we also have multiple tables as well. So the first step is to create a relationship between all these tables. So let me close this table first. And the way to create a relationship is we go to the database tools, and we see we have this relationships icon. So we select that one, and we see all the tables that we have in this database. So the three tables, which is the AllQuick, the one that we just imported, and the original tables, which is McKelly, and the FE table. So so before I jump to this step, let me just go back to the FE table to see what it lists. So the FE table actually it lists two columns. The first one is the code, or we see that we have a unique number associated with each region. So for example, the first one, which is code number one, represent region, which is Central Alaska. And if we scroll down this table here, we have more than 700 row or records. If you look at the McKelly table here, again, we have the intensity field, which is which we have a unique field that associated to the effect that causes by that particular earthquake. So what we will have to do is, as a first step, we will have to assign a key field to the tables FE and McKelly first. Again, if we go back to the rental movie business example, we have the movie table, and then we have the customer table. And each of those tables, we have a unique ID. Remember, we have the movie ID, we have the customer ID. And from those two tables, we create the third table, which is the rents table, that consists of the movie ID and the customer ID. So we will do the similar steps here in this exercise also. So if I go back to FE table here, and if I go to, right now we are in the database data sheet view. So if you go to the design view, we see that we need to assign a key field to the code attribute. So right now this attribute is highlighted. So what we will have to do is we select the primary key in the design tab. So we click the primary key, and now we assign code as the primary key in this particular table. So we close this, and we want to save this one, and we look at the McKelly table. Again, we want to assign a key field to intensity because we have a unique character associated for each effect. When we refer to the key field, it does not have to be a numerical value. It can be a character as well, as long as each of those characters, they are unique. So it is fine. So we do the same thing. We have to assign a key field. So we go to design view, and we select the primary key for intensity. We close this one, and we save that. Now we go ahead and establish the relationship. So this is the tables that we have. Three tables, and now we see in McKelly and FE tables, now we have a primary key assigned to the two attributes. So what we will have to do now is we have to link all these tables together. So if you look at the intensity field here, well, we have intensity also in AllQuick. So what we will do is we will drag the intensity attribute all the way to the intensity field in McKelly table. So once we stop at this point, we see this dialog box come up. So this shows the detail about the relationship that you're going to establish between the two tables. So remember to select the enforce referential integrity. So the detailed information, why do we select this option, is mentioned in the grid menu. Basically is that we have to choose this option to avoid any future or potential violation into this database. And if you choose the join type, we want to select the first one. So the first one where it says only include rows where the joined fields from both tables are equal. So this is the option that we have to select. So make sure that you select the first one. Click OK and create. And we see there's a link, or you can say there's a wire connecting between the two attributes. And if you look at the two numbers here, we see we have one represent the intensity field in the Mercalli table, and then we have the math symbol, which corresponds to the infinity symbol that represents the intensity field in the Oort-Krick table. So this relationship simply means that we have multiple intensity in the Oort-Krick table that correspond to that particular intensity field in the Mercalli table. So we can have multiple, so for example, if we have intensity one, we can have multiple intensity one that appear in the Oort-Krick table. So now we have to do the same thing to connect the Oort-Krick table and the FE table also. So the way to do this is we have to connect the thin edge. So thin edge in the Oort-Krick table essentially is represents the code in the FE table. So we will have to do the same thing again. So we left click on thin edge and drag it all the way to code under the FE table. So again, we select this option here and make sure the join type is where the first one is chosen. Click create, and we see that we have established the relationships between among all these tables here. So we save this, and this is pretty much done. So if I go back to this summary here, so I have done the first step essentially. So the first step here is just to import the data as well as establishing the relationship as well. So I have done the step number two also. Okay, so we also put down the actual page number corresponding to the grade menu. So so I have gone up to page 8 in the grade menu. So the next step is now we have established a relationship among all those tables. So we would like to generate a report that will report some of those attributes from those tables. Okay, so to create a report, so we go to the Create tab, and we choose Report Wizard. And now if you look at the tables or queries here, we have multiple tables because we have three tables in this database. And according to the grade menu, what we would like to display is year and magnitude from Oort-Krick's table, and then we will have to display region from the FE table. So we will do that. So we select year, magnitude, and then we go back to tables, and we select FE table, and then we choose region. So we click next, and actually we are not going to change anything, so we can simply go to finish. And we see that we have the report that we just generated. So if I go to, let me open the actual grade menu as well. So in the grade menu, that corresponds to figure 8.8 here. So this is the first assignment that you will have to submit. So you will have to submit this report here. Now, this report is going to display, if I go back to the design, the report view here, you see that we have a very long list of reports. So if you print out all 100 pages, your assignment or lab will be rejected. So make sure that you only print out the first page of this report. Try to reproduce what we have shown in figure 8.8 here. So the outlook of the report, it should look exactly the same as the report that we gave in figure 8.8. So for example, there's a line between the titles and the actual details, so you should display a line between those two sections. Okay, so so this is how you generate the report for the first exercise. So if you go back to the navigation panel here, we have the new report that we just created, and we also saw all the tables on the navigation panel as well. So if you choose queries, right now we have nothing, and same as forms. So the next step is we would like to create a query that consists of two columns. So let me go back to the tables first. So if I select the Oort-Krick table, which consists of pretty much all the information here. So if you look at the year field and the date field here, we have year, each of these record is formatted as a number. Remember, we have right justified that represent this is a number format, and left justified that means the data here is treated as a text format. So the next task is we will have to generate a query that consists of two columns. The first column will have to be the date, so we want to display the date corresponding to this year and in this date format. So if you look at the date column here, we have four digits. We have 0331 in the first record. So what it means is, it means this is March 31st in 1901. So we will have to use one of the built-in functions in Excel, in Access, to give us the exact date corresponding to this year and this date here. And the second column in that query will have to display the weekday in that week. So for example, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So let's go ahead and do that. So we will have to create a query. So we go to, so let me close this one first. We go to create again. So we have query design. So we select that one. And so we have, again, we have multiple tables in this example. So we will have to select the first one, which is the all correct table. Close this one, and we see all the attributes as well as the key field in that table. So the first step now is we will have to create an equation that allows us that allows the query to display the exact date corresponding to that year and that date format. So in the first field here, we have to go to Builder to create the expression. And so what we will have to do now is, if you go to the functions and built-in functions here, and under date or time, we have a function called date serial. So the date serial will convert any information in the year and the date, the month and the date to the exact date that corresponding to the information that we will give. So let me select that one first. So there's the format in this date serial here is we have to provide three arguments, year, month, and date. So year is very straightforward because we have the year attribute already. So for month and date, remember we have the four digits, so we have to somehow extract two digits from the left that correspond to the month and two digits from the right that correspond to the day. So for year, we will have to choose the attribute year from the tables. So under tables here, we select all quick. And if we double click year, this is all we need to do to complete the first argument. Second one, which is month, remember the four digits, or I should say those four characters, they're in text format. So in Microsoft Excel, remember we have a function that's called value that convert any text into numerical numbers. In Access, we have a function that's called cint. So let me go ahead and choose that one. So it's under conversion. And we have, if you go down, you see we have a cint. C represents conversion and int represents integer. So you see we have this expression here that converts an expression to an integer. So we select that one. Let me do this again. So date or time is date serial. Year will be year. So month here will be the built-in functions. Cint. So the expression here is we have to use, yep. Oh, okay. Is it better now? How about this? Okay, so remember we have 0331 in the first record, so we have to extract the leftmost two characters for the month. So Similar to Excel, we have the text functions. So under the text categories, we have to select the left function to extract the leftmost two characters. So we select left. And under left here, we have to choose, we have to supply the text string as well as the length, which is the number of characters in this case. So string in this case, it will be, we have to go back to all quick again. So that will be date. And length here will be 2. So we do the same thing for day. So day in this case is pretty much the same as the second argument here, except that we have to choose the right function. So we go back to the built-in functions, and we select cint. And within the expression now, we have to select right. And string in this case will be, we go back to the table and select date, and length will be 2. Okay, so again, when we enter the equation here, we also use the point and click technique that I have mentioned when we use Microsoft Excel. So I select OK. So the great menu asks you to change the name of this expression to date. Okay, so let me go back to the notes here. So this is step number 4, essentially, because step number 3 is the report that I just generated. So step number 4 is what I'm doing right now. So that corresponds to page 10 to page 14 in the menu. So we have created the first column. So the second column is going to use the information that we just created in the first field. So that means we have to save this query first so that when we use the second column to build the function, the information that we just created in the first column will be visible to be used in the second column. So let's close this one first and save this one as okay, I just saved this one as all quicks for now. So if I go to queries, we have the one that we just created. So we go back to the same query that we just created. This is the final view, so we see that we have the date corresponding to the first record. Remember, the first one is 1901-0331, so now we have March 31st in 1901. So we go back to the design view, and we have to add the second column or the second expression. Remember, we want to display the weekday. So we go to Builder again. So now if we go to queries now, we have the new queries that we just created. So so the name, double check is with the great menu, so they might have another name, so double check that one. So in terms of the built-in function now, we have to go back to date.time again. So we would like to convert that particular date into a weekday. So first of all, we will have to use the function weekday. So weekday will convert any actual date into a weekday that represents by a numerical value. For example, Sunday, we have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So Wednesday will correspond to number 4, and Sunday will correspond to the integer 1. So using the weekday function will only give us a numerical value at the end. So we have to use another function which is called the weekday name. So the weekday name will convert that numerical value into the actual date. So for example, if it sees a numerical number 4, you will convert that number 4 to Wednesday. So we select weekday name first. And we see in this description here, we have three attributes again. So any attributes that is displayed within a square bracket, so that's it, that is optional, so you don't have to provide those information. So in this case, weekday is the essential information that we have to provide. So on the weekday, we will have to choose the weekday function. So again, if we look at the weekday function here, we have to supply the date as well as another information here. So the second argument here, again, is surrounded by rectangular brackets. So this is, again, is an optional information, so we are not going to use that part as well. So the only information that we have to supply is the date. So if we go to the query that we just created, remember we have the expression that we built, which I label as date. So I double click that one, and then we can delete the rest of this attributes here. Okay, so we click OK, and we change the name to weekday. Okay, so we can double check this by going back to the database view, and we see we have the weekday display corresponding to that date. Again, if you go back to the grade menu, we have, if you go to, figure 8.13 here, you see this is the final result that you should see. So you can use this figure here to double check if you have done the right step here. Okay, so this is step number 4 essentially in chapter 8 according to this guideline here. So you should save, actually you should save the query as calculated, not all clicks. Okay, so pay attention to that one. Okay, so let me go back to the tables. If I go back to the tables here, all quick, we have several other attributes I haven't talked about. So if you look at the MBMMS here, if I go to the second page of the grade menu, it has mentioned that, so this is page 3. So the MB and the MS values, they should be numerical values because the MB value represents the magnitude of the body wave associated with the earthquake, and the MS value represents the magnitude of the surface wave. So if I go back to the table here, if I switch this one to design view, so right now MB and MS, they are in text format. So we will have to change that to a number as well. So this step you can be done in the beginning, but I just try to follow the steps that is mentioned in the grade menu. So we have to change MS here as well to number. And we save this one. And as long as you click save, you will see several warning messages. So we can just ignore them. Yes. And we just proceed anyways. And because it gave us all those error messages because of the import errors table that we have over here. Okay, so now we are down to step number 5. So step number 5 is we have to create a report essentially, and what we will have to do is this report will display all the earthquake with a magnitude that is greater than 7.5. And we will have to include several attributes into this report here. For example, the date that we just created using that query. So we have to include that date into this report as well. So the first step is, let me go back to the query that we just created. And if I go to design view here, so this query consists of 2 columns, and none of these columns are linked to the all-click table. So we have to establish a link again. So what we will do is we will have to drag the ID field into the first column. And as long as I do that, the original first column will go to the second column, and the original second column will go to the third column. So this is all we will have to do to establish the ID field into this query so that this query, when we go back to the relationship, we will be able to establish a link to connect those two. So we save this one. And we can go ahead and so we have done this one. And the next thing is, in order to generate the report, we have to generate a new query first that shows all the link together. So under that new query, what we will have to do is we have to add all three tables and the query that we just created. So query design. So we add all quick table, the FE table, Mercalli table, as well as, this one should be calculated query, but I named this one as all quicks. So we add that one as well. So you see all the link here. So you see the effect of adding the ID field, because now the all quicks query is able to link with the all quick table. So let me rearrange this one so it's easier to look at. So what we will have to do now is you can go back to this nooks here, and we will have to drag all these attributes into the query. So we have to drag weekday and date from the query, magnitude from the all quick table, effect from Mercalli table, and region from the FE table. And we will have to drag the fin end from the all quick table as well. So we will do that now. So the first step is we have to drag the weekday and date. The next one is magnitude from the all quick table. And the next one is effect. And the next one is region from the FE table. And the last one is the fin end from the all quick table. Now, even though we drag this one down, the GLADE manual actually asks you do not show this one in the actual thing. So we uncheck this one. And remember, I said that we would like to generate a report for any earthquake with magnitude greater than 7.5. So that is a criteria. So we have to enter that under the criteria field as well. So under magnitude here, we will have to type in greater than 7.5. So that way, the report will only display all the earthquake with magnitude that is greater than 7.5. And we would like to display that one in descending order. So we choose that one. And so we close this one. So now we save this one as a large quiz. Okay, so now we have two queries under the queries tab here. And once we have created the query, what we will need to do now is we can go ahead and create a report based on this query here. So when we create the report, we go to Report Wizard. And in this case, we will have to select the large quick query that we just created. And we want to select all of them. We go to next. And so in this case here, so we would like to sort, we would like to display the report based on the FE, the region field in this case. So the region field is associated with the FE table. So when you ask how do you want to view your data, we have to select by FE. So we select next. This is fine. And ascending order, this is fine as well. So we go to finish. And so you can, so we, if we look at the final outlook of this report here, we have to make certain changes. For example, the date here, some of it is, does not display properly here. So you can go back to the design view here. So to change the width of the actual data. So let me go back to the report view here. And so this corresponds to, let me go back to the GLADE manual. That should be figure 8.2. 8.17 here. So figure 8.17 here, well, if you compare the final figure here and the actual report, there's some differences. So you have to make sure that you add those lines again, and make sure that you change the title of the report. So let me just go to the homework to show you what you will have to submit for this exercise. So in terms of chapter 8, you have three items that you have to submit. So we have done the report for figure 8.8. Remember, you only need the first page. So what I have just created is the report for figure 8.17. So if you look at the report here, this is a pretty short report that should be only less than 30 records. So you will have to display all the records in this case here. And the last item is essentially is you have to create a chart according to figure 8.21 on the last page of the grade manual. I don't think I will have time to finish the last part here. So any questions so far about this exercise? Yep. Okay, but did you select the right and the left function properly? Maybe you switched them, okay? So make sure you choose the right one. So like I said, if you follow the actual grade manual, there are lots of details there. So I hope these the notes here you will be serve as a guideline to help you to walk you through the actual exercise. So let me just quickly give you an overview of what we will have to do the next part. So the next part is, if you look at the last figure here, it will show a bar chart that display the number of earthquake according to different levels. So different levels here, we mean we have four different levels. We have deep, medium, shallow, and surface. So these four levels, we will have to somehow implement using the same way that when we use the lookup function in Excel, but in Access we do not have that option to create a lookup table. So what we will have to do is we will have to use multiple nested if functions to achieve that goal. So if you go to page 17 here, so we have all the criteria here. For example, we have the word surface to represent the depth from 0 to 15, shallow to represent anywhere between 15 to 40. So let me just close this one and I save this one as, you should save this one as large quakes as well. So let me go to the table. All quick here. So we have, so if you look at the depth attribute here, so we have different numbers and we want to classify four different levels according to these numbers here. So like I said, we will have to use the query to first create a builder that consists of nested if functions to achieve that part. And then based on that, in the report, we will have to generate a bar chart. So we will come back to this one on Monday to talk about how to generate the last exercise. Okay, so on Friday, like I said, I will try to spend some time to talk about test number two. A lot of people, they are concerned about what kind of questions you will see with respect to the grade manual. So I try to spend some time to talk about that. Okay?